Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Concerns. So now let us bring in our
and in action on behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the
and
number one Islamic radio station.
We'll be right back after
your
this quick break.
And your voice protected.
So
American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the
Assalamu alaikum, Naima Latif.
And we are, yes, we are with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And so excited to join in today. Give me just one quick break. We'll be right back. And then we'll talk about today's topic because we've had quite an exciting time all evening here in Chicago. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Hi,
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we invite you to call in this morning because we want to hear your thoughts. We're going to talk about leadership, young male leadership, and most importantly, the new leader of the city of Chicago, Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson, who fought a battle that was basically between him and an elderly gentleman, elderly Caucasian gentleman, and as a younger black gentleman, of course, he's a little under 50, so for me, he's still young, but, you know, but some other folks, he might be a little bit, middle-aged to old. However, this was a time for us to really
unmuted
examine how we feel as a nation when it comes to the way we see each other. And a lot of things were exposed in this battle that we want to talk about today. The fears that we have of young African-American people, because that was kind of the underlying threat. Now, we had, after the COVID crisis, we had some pretty ugly rioting here in Chicago and in other cities, but here people tore up major parts of downtown, which was a thriving business center known throughout the world, North Michigan Avenue and all of that. And when riots broke out after the George Floyd killing and a lot of businesses actually went out of business, the fear that many people had was of young, out of control, so to speak, African-American youth. That became the face of devastation for a lot of elder people, both black and white. And it was the undercurrent of that that was a lot of the driving force in the advertisements and the code words used in this campaign, because people were afraid that an element of our community was not going to be controlled unless someone who was willing to be strict and stern were put into office. This was a lot of the code language being used in this election of Chicago mayor. And what it says is that our youth are seen by even some of us as the enemy. So we want to talk about that today, because the fact that that was exposed means it's still there. It's still a thought. And one of the major issues that kept coming up has to do with policing. How are we going to handle police? How many more police do we need to hire? And how should we put the police out on the street? And the underlying unspoken thing was, how do we control these young black people? And so in the race for mayor, and, you know, we had a chance to, you know, kind of hear a bit from the candidates during this time. And Paul Vallis, the candidate who is Caucasian and nearing 70, was supported by many of the establishment blacks. And even some of the community activist blacks. And a lot of questions were raised. Well, why are you supporting this man when an intelligent young black man is running and has served as a commissioner on our Cook County board? Why would you pick someone else who may not have the sensitivities to our community over someone who has repeatedly said he's grown up in the worst crime-ridden neighborhood, so he understands some of the underlying problems? And yet there's still a psychology that we have when it comes to who can get our children under control. And that was the underlying thing that I saw in this contest, the fear that we have of our own young people and wanting someone to get them back under control. And so all the code language used to say that, yeah, I can see through it because I understand what it is. A lot of people were afraid after the riots, and then there were crimes, just carjacking that spiked, and no one seemed to know what to do to get a handle on young people who had just exploded in uncontrollable behavior and didn't seem to care about the consequences. So we want to talk about that today because Chicago has now elected a new mayor, a man who grew up in the lower income communities on Chicago's west side, worked his way up, has now had a thriving political career, and was widely supported by many young whites and Hispanics as well as blacks. He had a multiracial, multi-generational support base, and it was close. But in the end, he pulled it out. But a lot of things were exposed in terms of attitude that we want to talk about, because there's a problem if we are seeing our own youth as the problem. And what are we going to do at this point to change the perception about our young people as being the problem that needs to be controlled and contained? One of the things that Brandon Johnson did say was, a lot of the issues that we have are our mental health crisis that have gone untreated. But how are we looking at organizing our cities? And are we thinking that the answer is to lock up more young black people who may become violent? Is that always going to be the answer? Or do we need to address some deeper issues? So, Brother Kareem, there in St. Louis, you know, the returns came in. It was a little late in the evening. We were there. And it was close. And I was surprised that they actually came up with it, because it was so close. And I know a lot of times, you know, when it's close, sometimes the loser doesn't want to concede. You know, they want to hold out hope or stall or whatever. But that didn't happen. They did declare Brandon Johnson the black man running as the new mayor somewhere around, I guess it was a little after 9 p.m. So by 10 o'clock, they had declared him the winner. But we want to get your thoughts on how many of our cities across the nation are looking at the rise in crime and they're putting a young black face on it. And they're saying that harsher controls are needed. And if this is the attitude, then the kind of brutality that many youth are complaining about, and some older people, will not change unless we change the attitude and change the approach. But one thing that did happen, a lot of young whites were backing this candidate, and I'm thinking, well, this is the generation that grew up with 8 years of Barack Obama as president. So a black man in leadership is not a strange thing for them. But even some of our own people have, even some black people have doubts about black people in leadership, or fears of black youth is needing more repression. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, praise be to Allah. I want to congratulate the Honorable Brandon Johnson for his winning the seat of mayor in Chicago, one of the largest cities in this country, a cosmopolitan city. I want to congratulate him. And, you know, I remember when I think it was George Bush was running for the president. He used the image of an African-American male and associated that image with crime. And that struck fear in the citizens of this country. We are being utilized as a stick of fear. Crime has been given in young African American face. At the same time, that is what is being shown to us on the news cycle. Is the so-called aberrant African-American male. But in this country, and in Chicago, I'm quite sure, there are a lot of progressive, forward-looking, forward-thinking, peaceful, educated African-American youth in Chicago. I'm quite sure there is. But they are never highlighted. They always highlight those that are outside of the norm. The norm is the progressive, intelligent, bright African-American youth. And so the African-American youth are used as a fear-mongering tool, Why aren't the progressive, college-educated, or entrepreneurial African-Americans, why aren't they given as much publicity as those that we deem criminal? We are being used fear mongering. There are a lot of progressive, intelligent African American youth, male and female, but they are ignored. They are not given the spotlight. So that the idea of the young African-American, either you vote for me or they will come and get you. They will come and get you. So I'm aware of politics and the messages that are sent. And we are being used as a stick of fear. You know, let me say this, that law enforcement is not they are a responsive tool. They only respond when something has happened or took place. But there are people in this country and in our cities that get in front of so-called problems. They are in the lead of addressing the myriad of the shortfall that may be occurring in our community. So I'm only highlighting that they have put an African-American face on crime. But we are not the only ones that are committing crime. I can name some races that are just as involved in crime. I can name some ethnic groups, but they're never highlighted. They're never put on the front page. They are never used as a campaign tool for getting into office. I would feel much better if those that are running for office, if they would highlight the best among us, highlight the best among us, you know, and that you stand with the progressive elements among us, and you shall strengthen them instead of always using fear-mongering tactics to get our vote. Now, crime is real. I'm not saying it is not. Crime is real, but there is a cause. There is a cause for everything. We know that manufacturing have left major cities, have third world countries. Those were jobs. Those were incomes. Those were incomes. And they have not been replaced by another source of income. So when you withhold sustenance from any people, crime can be the result of that lack of sustenance. But also, we as an African-American community, we bear some responsibility also. We say we are the African-American community, but what is a community comprised of? A community is comprised of mothers and fathers and families. That's the first social unit. So when we look to see how many of us are truly active in establishing community life, getting married, have a wife, children, home ownership, getting involved in the neighborhood and the communities that we live. That is where leadership comes from. So we have a responsibility also to truly establish community life once more. We say the African-American community, but define that for me. Show me the proof of that. Show me the stages that exist where we qualify to call ourselves a community. Our business life is lacking. Our cultural expression is in a lot of cases abhorrent. The instances of marriages are on the decline. The instances of mothers and wives and husbands and fathers seem to be on a slight decline. In order to have a community, you must have strong families. We have a responsibility. Chicago is just as much our responsibility as it is any other ethnic group. But I say once again, we need to highlight the progressive youth that are all around us, that are graduating from high institutions of learning, that have entered into entrepreneurship and being successful, that are making great strides in education. We need to highlight them, and the candidate that is running should highlight them and say, this is who I represent. These are my true constituents. This is me. I'm progressive, and I'm moving to strengthen the best among us. We give too much attention to the negative, and not enough attention to the positive, So I that's my take on that, and I hope I wish Brandon Johnson much success, but I would encourage him to bring forth the progressive youth among us. Highlight them, publicize them, because our youth are not all criminals. They're not all criminals. We have some wonderful young people among us that are thriving, but they need to know that they have our backing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm hoping, and perhaps that there were also some races where we have some new leadership, and I'm looking to have some of them on our future shows, and perhaps some of the young male leadership that emerged may be able to be on your men-only discussion this month and highlight some of the mm-hmm. vision that they had. And I think one of the biggest challenges is reaching that element that has given up and has become the outcast of society. And for whatever reason, is not feeling that they belong and are therefore have become predatory. Pardon me. And I'd certainly like to see how do we go about reaching out to those who have been shunned and bring them back into the fold of humanity. I'd like to see another strategy other than just round up everybody who we fear and lock them up. I think that's not the answer. But we need to hear from those who may used to have been those people. And we've got a comment from Beata. Thank you for joining us today, Beata. She says, glad to hear the race is over. Hope Johnson can clean up Chi-Town on every level. Well, one thing I would say is, going to take more than one person to fix this mess, you know, and he's going to probably come in and find out it's a bigger mess than he thought, which every leader does. But I'm hoping that at least he gets the cooperation from the rest of the city council, a large part of which is newly elected young leaders that have never served on city council before. So it's going to be a whole new experience. But we're going to take a break. We got some callers on the line that want to comment, so hold on. We'll be right back. And we are going to take a look at what are some things that if someone really had good intentions and wanted to fix the problem and not just fix the blame, what are some things that we'd like to see happen? And I know we've even, you know, talked about some legislative ideas.
You are breaking up, Naima.
Am I? The beginning just probably close the window. Okay, well, let me fix that. And then we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you all to stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not you use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Poussin. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
See you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. And we want you to press 1 to let us know you have something to say. And as always, we encourage you, if you are listening or if you are watching on our Facebook or YouTube channel, The Female Solution, then we invite you to write in your comments and we will gladly share them with our listening and viewing audience.
Unmuted.
And we are with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family every Wednesday. So we certainly do appreciate the fact that we have this global audience, and because me, the host, happen to live in Chicago for the last couple of days, at least, we have maybe in a couple of weeks, we've been highly focused on the Chicago election, primarily because Chicago is a very significant city in the United States. It's been often called the heart of America. And so much of what happens here influences the rest of the nation. So it was a big deal, so much so that a Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, former candidate for President of the United States, flew in for a big rally this past Friday and packed the UIC Pavilion, with supporters for Brandon Johnson and his endorsement, and also that of Martin Luther King III, I think had an impact. And Martin Luther King III, he's not a politician, but he's
Naima,
a big symbol.
You
for
are
America.
Breaking up.
Okay,
Naima,
I may have to.
You are breaking up. I'm not sure
right,
what's causing it, but it.
Okay, I may have to change phone. I may have to change my connection. So Ken, hold on for just a moment. And we will be right back to make sure that we connect properly. Because we want you all to hear the conversation, we want to bring in. If it's my sound, I don't know, but I do want to bring in our callers. So I want to make sure you can hear them. Well, let me start with our first caller while I fix my sound. And
now you are very clear at this time. You are very clear. The audio is very
okay.
clear right now. I'm not sure what transpired, but it's very clear
okay.
right now.
All right. Well, let me open a mic and I'll see if I can make some adjustments just to make sure I stay clear. And let me open the mic for area code 314-677. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts on the election of Brandon Johnson as mayor. And does that mean racial politics is over? Are people used to black people being in leadership now, white as well? Because he had a large young white following that put him over the top, as well as, you know, many other ethnicities. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you sound good. I think there's something wrong with your co-host's line there in St. Louis. But I was hearing everything that you said. But,
oh, I'm glad to hear that.
No, I don't live in Chicago. I kind of watch from a distance. And I'm happy that whoever won. And they have opportunity to try to live out their promises or what the expectations would probably be. I think this whole idea of black voting for people because of the color of their skin is antiquated. This young man has an educational background similar to the one there in Atlanta. They also elected a young black candidate who is highly professional. And you're talking about the success of black. What needs to be done is take a look at the data in particular areas. That way you can compare him coming in and what it's like 4 years from now. And that's the 12 time.
And you are breaking up, Bianchi.
Yeah, now I hear him breaking up. Yeah, just breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure if it is my internet connection.
But I think that the education needs to be looked at. I think that the modern way that people are tending to go to school choice and listen to money talks about because there's just too many parameters that just are not working. And, you know, you got
Naima, his line is really fraught with it's breaking up terribly, very bad now at this time.
Yeah, let me double check my internet connection. Okay, we seem to be all right. Okay. Are you still able to hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
I can hear.
Yes, very clear.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Kianki is very clear now. Yes.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to plaster myself to this spot. But no, the education is very important. And that's one of the decisions why come industry moves to communities, not only looking at the crime, but it also looks at the education of the workforce. In St. Louis, you've had some tremendous business that have opted to leave. And the crime is bad. You know, you have to call it what it is. The face of crime in the United States in these cities are that of black males between the ages of criminality. And how you go about straightening that out, I don't know. I think the largest, most elite community there in Illinois that's predominantly black is Olympia. Am I right, Naima?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That's possible. But
yeah, and you had a lot of people, Olympia Fields. You had a lot of people that was in Chicago along Lakeshore Drive, rich African Americans. They moved out because of the crime element. So that's something that you have to get control over. I say it starts off with the old basics, the family, education, and so on and so on. Now, here's another thing. I introduced the National Society of Black Engineers to many shows that I happen to, you know, frequent. And they come on and they explain the program and they get a good follow-up. And that organization does a very good job of putting African Americans that's in the STEM field into these professions. And you can go on their website, and any given time they have anywhere from 6,000 to 8,000 hirings that you have a corporation people in the field that are looking for candidates. And at the national convention you have the same thing. But what it shows is that education, and you already know that, you should know, is a key component.
The connection is real bad now, Naima. We're not hearing anything Kianki is saying. Naima?
Yes, can you hear me? Are you able to hear me?
Very, very low. You're very low and it's still breaking up. I'm not sure what the problem is, but
yeah, I think it is the internet in the area. I don't know if it's because of, you know, we had some storms. I don't know if that is affecting the connection. So that could be the possibility. I'm trying to see if I may be able to connect my portable Wi-Fi. I don't know if that will make a difference or not. But, you know, we lost our visual connection on StreamYard, so it could just be a matter of some difficulties because of the recent storms, but I'm not certain of that. So we'll continue on.
We have a caller on this line. If you,
so we'll take one of your callers while we're working on this. So you go right ahead.
Oh. Okay, Erico 478-352. Welcome to the Female Solution. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Akbar from Bradenton, Florida. Originally from Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, how you doing? Ramadan Mubarak. Yeah, I was calling in. I'm not from Chicago, but I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York, which is another big city, something like Chicago. I just had a few questions, and I'm just trying to figure out why is the crime so bad in Chicago. You know, a few times I heard certain things like people say people that's from Chicago. I heard one guy say one time that the government or certain officials, they'll drop a box of guns in the alleyway. He said one time he was walking through the alleyway behind the building that he lived in, and he just found the whole box of guns just sitting in the alleyway, you know. So, and then another thing I heard is, you know, white guys, they'll drive around and they'll put on a black mask to make it look like they're, you know, they're black or African American or whatever, and they'll be the ones that's shooting some of these young black guys. So I'm just trying to, you know, figure out or understand why crime's so bad in Chicago and what, you know, because I come from New York. New York is bad too. You know, there's a lot of crime in New York, but I don't think it's as bad as Chicago. So I'm just trying to figure out how did Chicago get like that and why is the crime so bad, you know?
Well, I certainly have heard. Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. You're very clear.
Yes. Okay. I've heard some of those same stories. I've heard that, you know, like these boxcars of weapons would be found, like you say, in the community where there already is existing conflict between street organizations. As a means to exacerbate the conflict. And I've also seen situations where someone is supposedly hit in a drive-by shooting. But to me, unless you're a sharpshooter, you are not able to hit a moving target and hit someone in the head. And you're driving away, and it's always a black van where these murders are coming from. And I have long suspected that these were professionals hired to create conflict. And, you know, somehow, and I think I've even heard several times where the person had, you know, a mask or something that hid their face, but the impression was given that they were black, you know, whether they had on black gloves or whatever. But the bottom line is that their skills in hitting the target were professional skills, which I don't think some, you know, random street person who never had any gun shooting lessons is going to be that accurate in hitting a target. So my suspicion was always that this was instigated by people who were looking to capitalize on the dysfunction of our community and the conflicts that were instigated and exacerbated by those who benefit from our conflict, those who benefit from us shooting and killing each other and then going to jail. Unfortunately, there are not enough of the wise leaders who live through COINTELPRO to give a warning to the people who fall prey to this kind of baiting and walk into the trap so that they could see it and not succumb to it. But most definitely, I believe that this is not an accident that this has happened. It's very strategically planned. The destruction of our neighborhoods is very strategically planned. It has been, and I believe our Tyrone Muhammad on one of my other shows, Three Black Moms, and I believe he's been a guest on the Female Solution as well. He talked about how there was a decision to remove all of the strong men from the community in the street organization whether you call them gang leaders or whatever, or community leaders, whatever the title was they were given, they were removed from the community. And when that happened, there was an absence of leadership. And young men, without older wise men giving them direction, coupled with their economic distress and their frustration and anger, when given weapons of war to work with, what they ended up doing is falling for the trap. And so you would think we would have learned when those who seek to destroy you come with weapons of destruction, they mean for you to destroy yourself with them. We should have learned that by the fact that we're over here in America from people who use the same tactics. Give them guns, let them go to war, we take the spoils. Same thing. So because we didn't have wise men in the community to teach the young men the history of what happened so that they would not repeat it, we ended up repeating it. Mm-hmm. So now we need to teach this history, but even more, we need to empower the young men who have been made powerless by inadequate education, inadequate opportunities to develop business skills, inadequate financial backing, to empower them to change their lives and not just punish them for the pit we dropped them into. And everybody's afraid of them. I have a number of friends who are police officers, and they're always on high alert, ready to pull out a gun if they stop a young black man in a traffic stop, and if he does anything with his hands looking like he might reach for something, they're ready to pull out a gun and shoot him. And that's because of the programming. That's because of the repetitive images that they receive, but then also because as police officers, they are experiencing these very brutal young men and women who are killing people. And so even for them, that's what they see in our youth, this killer mentality, this extreme emotion, couple that with access to war weapons. So everybody's feeling unsafe, even though when it comes to these mass shootings, it's largely been Caucasians doing that. But somehow in the minds of people, the monster, the boogeyman, the person to fear is a young black person. So, yes.
You know. Yeah, the intelligence department of this government have issued their findings on what is the greatest threat to the United States of America. And they have come to the conclusion and issued a statement that the most threatening element for this country is domestic terrorism. Domestic terrorism. And they identified that domestic terrorism as tied to white nationalists. White nationalists, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Ku Klux Klan, the White Citizens Council. But we don't hear that on a continuous basis. That's not front page. That does not lead off the evening news that the greatest threat to this country is white supremacist nationalists. So I say once more, we have to change the narrative. We should accentuate the positive. and not always accentuate the a negative. If we accentuate the a positive and they know that they have our support, then God willing, that may encourage those that are outside of the law to change, to change their thinking and their behavior. So we have to control the narrative. The greatest threat to this country is white nationalism. Here, I mean, you know, but in every election, that's not even mentioned. They always mention African, and I'm not lessening the negative impact of African-American crime on African-Americans. I'm not diminishing that. That is real, and that is a problem. But also, we must accentuate the positive and not give so much air to the negative, and invite, influence of people to come on the right side of history, to come on the right side of life. We have to as I said, accentuate the positive. There are more African American males in college now than there are African Americans in prison. We don't hear that. We don't hear the high graduation rate number of African American males and females in this country that are doing some very positive things. It's always highlighted the negative in order to get in a certain position. And as I think, we need to accentuate the positive, hold those up as examples of what is possible, you know, and not always allow this media to put a black face on crime. Look, there are gangs in this country right now that are coming from drug cartels, from drug cartels in Central America and Mexico and other countries that are committing crimes that are very heinous, but you don't hear about them. There were beheadings in Arizona, Nevada, but you don't hear that. So I'm only saying that we should not allow ourselves to be used, fear-mongering tools. People that live among each other, they commit crimes among each other. But I'm saying that we have to accentuate the positive that is among us, change the narrative from a negative to a positive, and hopefully that will persuade and induce those that are outside of the norm to change their thinking and their behavior and their attitude and their goals. We need to accentuate the positive. And I state once more, the United States government has said the greatest threat to this country is domestic terrorism, white nationalism. 47 is threatening the criminal justice system in New York, and he intends to utilize domestic terrorists to do that. He has threatened the lives of the district attorney in New York. This is a clear and present danger, clear and present danger. But I still ask that we accentuate the progressive African American youth that we have all around us, and inshallah, that may persuade those that are not living that type of life to come into life for real. Another caller here, on AM 360 if you are ready to receive.
Yes. Well, let's take another quick break, and then we'll be right back. I believe we're going to have our Facebook and YouTube channel up in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break and reestablish that, and we'll be right back, and then we'll take your caller on your line, and I believe we've got another caller on the Female Solution line, so we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We are talking about the new leadership in Chicago and the attitude that we have about our own when it comes to crime and violence. What will be done differently by those people who perhaps are from the streets or at least understand what creates crime and violence in the city? So we'll be right back after this quick break, and area code 813-646 and area code 312-671, and anybody else on our switchboard, if you have a comment you'd like to share, press 1 and we'll open your mic. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Jody Susan of Susan Essentials is certified by the number one functional medicine doctor on plant-based healing essential oils, which are revolutionizing the way we manage our well-being. Schedule today to take control of your health.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on Cable TV Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Johnny. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. And we're back on Facebook and YouTube on the Female Solution. So if you want to connect with us visually, you can go to your phone or computer and write in your comments. We had a few comments from our viewers. They may need to write them in on our new connection here. We want to make sure that we give everybody a chance to be heard. We are talking today about the Chicago mayoral race. Chicago selected Brandon Johnson as its mayor. And the question is racial politics over, or is it just beginning, just based on the fact that we still have this fear factor of especially young black people? Will crime be handled differently with a black man in office? You know, Tareem, one of the things that disturbed me greatly, and it wasn't her fault, but it happened, and I don't know if you heard about the case of a woman named Anjanette Young, who came home from work one day, you know, jumped in the shower. You know how you do, go home, take off clothes, jump in the shower, and then heard her door being knocked in, you know, broken into, and 12 police standing there with guns on her, and she jumped out of the shower. She, of course, standing there totally nude, and they held guns on her for a long time. And looking for somebody, you know, drug dealer or somebody, she kept saying, "You got the wrong house. You got the wrong house." She just came home from work, and they would not listen to her. They held a gun on her. She's standing there, and I don't know, maybe like 20 minutes later, one of the female officers finally gave her a towel or something to wrap around herself. But they stood watching her in the nude for a long time, pointing guns at her. She was afraid to even move because they would have shot her. And she's telling them they've got the wrong house. They broke into her. She had just come out the shower after coming from work, and she was so traumatized by that. Now, this happened maybe a year before the previous mayor, a black female, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, had gotten into office. And she and a lot of people knew about it. She said she hadn't heard about the case. Well, it kind of came out that she did sort of know about it, but she hadn't addressed it at the time. Maybe she didn't know what to do. But the fact that she knew about it, 12 officers brutalizing that woman emotionally in that way, and nobody got immediately fired for that, reprimanded, dismissed, something, that affected me because I think that could have been my mother, my aunt,
my sister, myself. This is a middle-aged black woman humiliated while 12 officers stood there watching her in the nude, would not let her move, and would not accept her saying 45 times, "You got the wrong house." And which they later found they did. Now she got a pretty decent settlement, but you don't want to have to go through that. And it's something wrong with police officers that cannot comprehend immediately when they have made a mistake. And standing, in my opinion, that was sexual assault. And I would have fired every last one of them on the spot and say, well, the police union say you can't do that. You know, I would have had the state's attorney prosecute them for sexual assault, having that woman stand there in the nude all that long time and then pretending like they think, well, you know, you might be the drug dealer we're looking for, you might be having him harbored here, whatever pretense they had. You know, that was inexcusable. And I think that case in itself is one of the major reasons why she didn't get reelected, because too many black women felt that on such a deep level. And even when she finally admitted she did know about it and she, you know, came out with this statement, oh, I was just horrified, it's kind of too late. You know, look, heads needed to roll with a quickness after that. You know, coming in the gate when you look, I knew about this case, every last one of y'all fired, you never work again as a police officer. I mean, she needed to really make an example out of them. And that didn't happen. And so I think that is one of the reasons black women were not as enthusiastically behind her as the first black woman mayor in the city, because when it came down to the humiliation and life-threatening situation suffered by a black woman, her response was just way too weak. And so people look at how you handle things. And with this new mayor, it's going to be expected that all of these cases of brutality, of these officers that are constantly, their complaints from citizens being ignored and sent right back out on the street. And I don't want to make the police the bad guys, because I know they're not, even though the job itself is not a good job because it evolved out of the slave patrol. So, you know, we're trying to make it be something noble. You know, all these good cop shows on TV and everything, we're trying to make it be a noble thing. But when you have so many men and women who are seeing the worst of humanity, a lot of them came in with PTSD because they're coming from the military, they don't need to be treating citizens like enemy combatants. And too many of them have, and too many of them don't need to be in that job where they're facing people. Too many of them are dangerous because of the way they overreact. Somebody has to be able to say it. And when you don't say it, people don't forgive that. So I want to see what this new mayor is going to do about a lot of the officers that are not emotionally well enough to be in that high-stress position. But we're going to take your call. I believe you got a caller on your switchboard, and then we've got some callers on the Female Solution line.
Okay, area code 724-866. Welcome to the Female Solution. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. It's Sister Gail Muhammad from Sharon, Pennsylvania. I think this topic is so layered in so many different levels. I remember personally in the small community that I came from, I think there was a turnaround, especially in the young men during the Vietnam War era. I think it took so many African-American males out of the community, and then the next, it's the same generation, but the younger ones of that generation that weren't eligible to go into the war, either by choice or by drafting. I'm not sure which one, but I think that was a big absence of that male leadership. And also how they came back from the situation, those that were directly fighting in the Vietnam War. I know we were blessed. My brother, he was in missiles and he was in Germany, so he wasn't directly. But a lot of the ones that go into the military, what I observe is they come back with their social habits and things, especially the alcohol and the drinking and stuff, because I guess in downtime that's what they did. And so many of them are, you know, they came back with not only mental health issues, but those types of things. And those are things that I think blew up in our community. Of course, you know, the drugs and everything like that. And now what we see in the film industry and everything is the promotion of the negative bad habits of African Americans, that even some of the problems that we're focusing on are those things that the film industry are promoting, and this is what the next generation are, this is what they're seeing, and they're showing the power of the negative rather than, like different ones are saying, Bianchi and Kareem, promoting the positive things that are done in our community. And we have to be careful of the film industry and as actors and stuff, so many making their livelihood off that. But, you know, the messages that are coming out of that, you know, hold the whole culture of films and music and videos, you know, promoting that negativity. And that's what most people are seeing more than the positive things, you know, that our young people are doing. And that's, you know, shaping people's attitudes. And I think what, as a community of people, as African Americans, what we have to do is go back to our family life and you know, all those children that are out there, children and young adults, they came from a family. They came from they're from and they're doing this in their community. So I believe as a mother and as fathers, you know, we have to go get our children off the street, and we have to try to retrain them ourselves and not wait for, you know, a mayor to come into office. They can't solve all these problems. It has to start back at the nucleus, which is the family, and as that individual, we have to take that responsibility as mothers, fathers, grandparents, so on and so forth. We have to get our children off the street, and that it's along with a lot of help we need, but it's going to have to start with that individual, and then that individual is part of the family, and just, I mean, and it's not an easy task, but I believe it can be done, and we have to each take responsibility for our children that are that we're producing and helping. Hopefully we're helping them to lead a more positive life. And, you know, we can't wait for anybody else. We get to each go and get our children off the streets. And
I definitely agree.
You know, we always say education is key. And, you know, we're not going to always be as successful as we you know, we hope for, but we have to start there. We have to. And we did, and it just, our participation in their lives and in the community and all, it all grows out of the family structure.
I agree.
I agree.
Definitely.
Wholeheartedly.
You know, I think the question is, how do we strengthen the families? Because the problem really does start in the homes. And there are things that are happening in people's houses because people tend not to admit when they need emotional help. They tend not to go and get counseling. And then just going to a therapist or a counselor doesn't mean your problem's going to be solved. I've known a lot of people to say, well, you know,
exactly.
I went to a counselor and we talked about it, but that didn't make me feel bad. That didn't fix the problem. So there's some deep things that have to happen inside the households to change what's coming out of the households. We got another caller here on the line. Thank you so much, Sister Gail. We appreciate your wisdom.
You're welcome.
We
appreciate your talking about
this. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we definitely have to figure out ways to heal the homes. And there are a lot of broken homes because there are a lot of broken people. And that leads to broken children. And, you know, we've been talking about that as well, what's happening inside the homes, the abuse that's happening inside the homes, and where do young people go to express their frustration when teachers are not equipped to be the kind of counselors that they need to deal with domestic violence that they're living with or abuse that they're living with. And sometimes psychological abuse, you can't see it, but that's what they're living with because that's what parents are doing. How do we fix that? Because that is at the root of the problem. Let me take a caller here. Area code 813-646. You're live on the Female Solution. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
L.A., Central Florida.
Hey, L.A.
My comment quickly. I've been from afar, you know, checking out the Chicagoland area for some time. And when it comes to, I forgot how you put it, racial politics or whatever.
Yeah.
The optics of it, I don't think it really matters who optically you have out front. They can be black, purple, blue, or brown, but since the person has the new one. But the last one was black, the new one's black. I think that's optics because there are two fundamental types of voting. You have ballot box voting, which that's how the new mayor and the last mayor got in. But there's access voting as well. And what are the demographics when it comes to access voting? Now, access voting, my definition of is who's giving those campaign contributions? Because mayors, particularly of a city of the size of Chicago, they make millionaires out of people. I mean, what's the demographic? Mm-hmm. Who's ever going to get the trash contract, the recycle bin contract? Who's going to get the contract? Who already has the contract for police vehicles? I mean, who's selling police vehicles to the city of Chicago? What's that demographic? Uniform contract.
Mm.
And then mm-hmm. over the last 20 years, give or take, 250,000 black folk have moved out of Chicago. What's the reason on that? I don't know. And then using Barack Obama as a barometer when he first got elected in 2009, so you've got those people, if they were 18, they're 32 now. You know, can they afford a priced house in Chicago? And that barometer could be anywhere from $262,000 to $335,000 without government help. And you need about $62,000 on average to qualify for that type of mortgage. Now, you do have 32-year-olds in Chicago that are doing financially well. I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure – you know, you've got a number of black entrepreneurs there, young ones, that are doing well. You know, like I say, it's – even when it comes to the criminal justice system, I mean, what's the demographic? Who's bankrolling the district attorney in the office? Who's bankrolling the judges in the office? We need to look at those demographics because the mayor basically is just – a face. Who's behind the mayor pulling the strings? Those are my comments.
Thank you for those comments. And that's always the question, who is pulling the strings? Because there are strings being pulled, and sometimes you don't know until you get in that office and you realize you got an answer to some people. Let me go to area code. I'm going to take you in this order. 706-202-773-450.
I have a caller here on the 360 also.
347.
Okay, and then we'll take your caller after that. Okay. Oh. You're going to take your caller first? Go right ahead. And then we go to 706-202. Okay. Go right ahead, Kareem, with your caller.
All right. Area code 478-352. Welcome to the Female Solution.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yeah, this is Brother Akbar. I called in earlier. I have another please. You know, it goes very deeper than just these police with these guns. I believe a lot of these police officers have chemical imbalances as far as the food, the nutrients that they're taking in. You know, you just look in the days, the times we're living in, look at all of these energy drinks that they came out with. They got the Monster energy drink, the Red Bull, you know, and maybe 20 years ago or 15 years ago, you didn't have all of this, these energy drinks and things they selling in the stores. So you got to look at the people are working off the emotions. You know, they so quick to react, so quick to shoot. And you just got to look at all of the things that people are ingesting into their body and the nutrients, you know. So is very deep. It goes deeper than just the guns. And, you know, I believe a lot of people just have a lot of chemical imbalances from the nutrients that they're taking into their body, you know. So we have to, I believe we have to fight to get some laws passed, you know, to get rid of some, you know, you got, they legalizing marijuana now, and you just got to think, what's in this, in these legalized marijuana, what kind of chemicals that they putting in these things, and, you know, it's just making people just act different, you know. 20 years ago, you didn't see stuff like this that's going on, or you didn't, you know, it's just, the times we living in is just different. It's crazy. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
as-salam.
He made a very excellent point. I'm sorry. I was saying he's made a very excellent point because, unfortunately, police officers that have a problem are not really allowed to say they have a problem when they need counseling. If you have an emotional issue and you say something that indicates you're going through a mental health crisis, then you could lose your job. You get laid off. Well, because they're trying to not lose their job, they don't say when they're going through a mental health crisis. So a lot of times they do mask it with drugs. And there's a high suicide rate among police officers. That's a very distressing job. And I agree, there's probably a chemical imbalance in a lot of them, but they won't get help because getting help is not supported in that industry to say, look, I'm under stress. I can't take it. I need to take a mental health day. I just witnessed, you know, 3 murders last week. You know, my soul needs to rest. You're supposed to be this stoic person where you know, shrug it off and keep going. They can't. And it is affecting them mentally and biologically. I agree. And a lot of them go out there in that mentally imbalanced state, and that's why they're overreacting and killing other people or assaulting other people, brutalizing people, because they're not getting help. And we have to make it possible for people who are in that position to get help without being attacked. I definitely agree with what he said. We got to take one last break. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. The recruitment tool for law enforcement. The majority, well, they have been fed by the negative narrative even before they are accepted in law enforcement. Their mind has been shaped.
Yes.
There's a mindset that's already been formed in them concerning African American people. A negative, they have been shaped and formed and given a mindset that is a negative. Matter of fact, when we look at the movie Training Day, look at that movie. Look at that movie. That is a crime against African American people.
Mm-hmm.
To have a, yes, to have a movie such as that blast across this country, it really created a very negative narrative about us as a people.
Oh, yeah.
And also our part we play in the criminal justice system. I saw nothing positive in that movie. It's a mindset.
And you can believe there was an underlying reason, and I love Denzel Washington, but there's a reason why he got an Oscar for that and didn't get an Oscar for Malcolm X. So what signals are industry? Oh, dear. Okay. Well, we got to take a break, and then we'll be right back, and I'll take another call. I think my internet is really struggling today. All right. So we'll be right back, 706-202. We're coming to you next, and anybody else on our switchboard that has not spoken, press 1, and we'll come to you right after this quick break. So stay with us. All right. And we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we are also live on Facebook and YouTube. Go to the Female Solution on Facebook or YouTube. And if you're watching, you will see on the screen we have
from the on-air daily news website, our news website on air, is showing the big rally for Brandon Johnson. Friday, this past Friday, Martin Luther King III was one who came in town and endorsed him. And you see also the photos with Reverend Jesse Jackson, you know, known icon in the community. And, of course, his son, now Congressman Jonathan Jackson, along with many other longtime activists and supporters, the Wallace Gator Bradley there in the photo, and so many who endorsed Brandon Johnson's election saw him as a symbol of empowerment and of sensitivity to the needs of the community. And then we see Bernie Sanders, who came in town and for this to be the main feature for this big rally at the UIC Pavilion. And that rally, I think, kind of turned the tide for Brandon Johnson. We had been trailing a little bit in the polls, but after that rally, he more or less evened the numbers. And then he had another big gospel rally and did some very intense advertising and campaigning and pulled ahead, enough ahead to snatch victory from Paul Vallis, and definitely has set another historic precedent in becoming Chicago's new mayor. And our Monday host Zelda says you can hear us loud and clear and join the show listening as we prepare to head to the TV studio. Great coverage. Yes, we are so grateful for our hosts that have Zelda allowed us to also do a quick interview with the challenger, you know, the other candidate, Paul Vallis, live on Monday. And he made some great promises. And Zelda also says that, let me pull up her comments here. She said that Reverend Jackson is still an icon in the community, and this rally of support tipped the bucket and made it happen. Congratulations, Mayor Brandon Johnson. Yes, I would definitely say that rally, that did it. That clinched it for him. And what it showed, a whole lot of young whites were in his corner. So let me take another caller. We got 706-202. I believe that's our brother Kwame Sunhorse on the line from Georgia Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us on the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Naima. And, you know, being raised in Chicago, but I live here in the stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek in Edenton, Georgia. I've been out of Chicago since 93. And the part for what I've watched and seen from a distance is seeing how this word mayor and the mayors that have become, because when I grew up, it was Daley, then Young Daley, then the others that took that Jane, whatever her name was. But the part that I'm seeing is that by electing him, like L.A. was saying, is the ballot. And the thing that we're doing, what the word says is may or. And they may or be for the people, or they may or be for the people that's funding them. And so these are the challenges that we see that's happening with the city. But the other part is that we've had a whole different environmental shift in that city, because that city, once upon a time, it had communities, it had precinct captains, it had those ones that were the grandmothers, those old ladies that sat in the window and watched out for us. And we talk about it takes a whole village to raise a child. And the part of that whole village is kind of almost extinct now, because what's happening with those villages, they're becoming regentified and remade over to where it's not for the benefit of those that's living there. Only if you live in a $1 million zip code that you keep 26 in California filled up. For those that are on here that don't know, 26 California is where the main jail is, and they've moved it from a jail to almost a prison industrial complex. So what they're seeing is being able to have what the 13th Amendment says, is that neither slavery or indentured servitude, except if you're duly convicted of a crime. The three things that destroyed the indigenous people and partial in the Atlantic slave trade are the three same things that are being used in our community. That is, there are more liquor stores, there was rum. And in the indigenous people, more natives were killed by the barrel of rum than it was by the barrel of a gun. And our people were given those that in our community, that we have more liquor stores, more guns, and we're going to use cloth. We're going to wear every designer. Urban definition says is that you take over 1,000 people and you put them in a square mile radius. Rural says you can take those same 1,000 people and put them in a country mile radius. Country mile radius is larger than a city radius, 8 blocks. So what you're doing to people is you're hurting them and you're putting them into an environment that environment is not conducive to them to be economically stable, as would be the people that live in a rural area that would have the resources that's coming from the land and have the energies that's coming from nature, as opposed to those living in an area that is concreted and asphalt over from nature. And the sun blocked from the tall buildings. So what you've done, seen, is the creation of a environment that is what Dr. Bobby E. Wright says created menticide, mental suicide, to where the people's mind has been able to be reprogrammed to hate that most looking like itself. And so it's a challenge now to deal with this mental health issue, is because it's been a few generations to have had to program these generations. So it's a challenge now, even though they've elected a black mayor. Harold Washington was the first black mayor. And I remember Harold Washington walking down 44th and Calumet on his way to Roosevelt College when I was a child. So I've seen the transition. And we just had, you talked about Dr. King. Here yesterday was his anniversary of his assassination. But how many people know that Dr. King and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on February 24, 1966, met together and talked about the challenge of the movement was going on in the city of Chicago? We forget how we had ancestors now that were giving us tools in order to help guide us. But what are the leaders doing? Yeah, you had Jesse Jackson, Bernie Sanders, you had, you know, those ones there. But Operation Push came, Rainbow Coalition, Operation Push came from Fred Hampton when he was unifying the Panthers, the country boys up there in the north side of Chicago, and the Hispanics. That was the rainbow, and he just copied what was Fred Hampton's vision to what he wanted to see created and protecting the community. We've got a lot of healing, and we've got a lot of work, because we have an information highway that sometimes give us misinformation, and as always told, half truth is a whole lie.
Wow. Yeah, well, you definitely shared some education today for those who don't know some of those historical facts. Thank you always, Brother Kwame. We appreciate you so much. and keep on sharing that wisdom. We got another caller here. Do you have another caller on your switchboard? If not, I'll go to 773-450. Your mic is open. You do? Okay. Well, hold on. 773-450. Let's go to the AM360 switchboard, and then we'll come back to you.
Error code 317671. I think this is Minister Plump.
We are in Yashalom. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, this is Minister Plump in Chicago, Illinois. How you doing,
Minister
Brother
Plump? Your song, Minister Plump. Your song put him over the top. See, Your song put him over the top.
You right. We did do that because we came out of the Artists for Mayor Harold Lee Washington, and that was with Dr. Phil Coran. And so we came up with Artists for Wynn, Brandon Johnson Wynn music. And it was the same type of concept, which was Let Us Do It Again. You know, a part of the solution for us, I remember Dr. Phil Jackson and the Black Star Project. We was down at the MacArthur's downtown protesting for them to give us equal money like they did the white organizations. And what was so surprising was that one of the policemen came up on a bicycle and they said to us, "Chicago police don't want no peace." But we know that, we was down there with the Black Star Children, and we was promoting peace. So this is a part of the solution, Sister Naomi. Black Love Matters, too. This is in the form of a T-shirt right down to the modern time. We hold ourselves accountable for the conditions of our communities. Support our efforts as we exercise change. And as a result, I'm going to give you just a little preview that came with the Artists for Brandon Johnson to Win. And here it is. My voice is a little hoarse right now, but this is it. And God bless your heart. We love you. Keep up the female solution, because you and Brother Kareem, happy Ramadan to you all, too. My body, and also happy Ramadan Kareem.
Thank you, Ramadan.
Brandon Johnson, win. Keep your eyes on the prize. Help keep the dream alive. Win, Brandon Johnson, win. Tell everybody to vote for Brandon Johnson to win. Grassroots, vote again. Come alive, Chicago. Punch back. If you haven't heard, pass the word. Win, Brandon Johnson, win. Let us do it again, again and again. Just like we voted Mayor Harold Lee Washington in, we can all vote. Win, Brandon, win. Win, Brandon, win, Brandon, win, Brandon, win. Push on, right on, hold on. Thank you. May God bless you. We love you. Just like we voted President Barack Obama in, we can all vote. Win, Brandon, win. Win, Brandon, win. Brandon, win, Brandon, win. This is the word. This is the word.
Well, you're breaking up a little bit now, but yes, and he did. And he did win. And we thank you, Minister Plump, for organizing the artist for Brandon Johnson. That was definitely an element that helped Mayor Harold Washington, having the artist songs that urged political involvement. And back in the day, I even did a rap when rap was just becoming popular, and it was urging people to vote. So I mean, it was a very creative time, and those things do turn the tide of elections. So we thank you for your creativity, Minister Plump. I think a lot of people are surprised at the surge in the numbers after that rally, but that rally did kind of remind us of what was done during the time of Harold Washington and how those big rallies at the pavilion was like a show of strength. And it reminded us of the sheer numbers that we had. And so people started believing, oh, we can do this. We can take this. We can win. And you were, of course, you were at the rally also, Minister Plump. So you saw the crowds of people and the multiracial, multicultural, multigenerational makeup of the crowd. So that was definitely a powerful moment. And we've got time for another caller, area code 773-450. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Yeah, holiday greetings, grand rises, and I found a link into the budget. I was going to say this. You know, it's interesting how with black people, we get all excited about these people when they get in politics and they get moved into office like it's some benchmark moment. I'm not impressed. I did vote for Brandon because he was the best candidate of the two. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. But as far as all this pomp and circumstance, the same thing they do when they elected a black president, or so-called black, 8 years of that, and what did we get from that? So, I mean, all this pomp and circumstance and people being impressed by, oh, someone's black in the White House or somebody's running Chicago, it means nothing to me unless you do something yourself. We can't depend on politicians. They'll sit there and say, we're going to do this for you. And the minute they put it up, then they don't get the number of votes they need, then they can make the excuse, well, I tried. So I don't put my trust in none of the governmental stuff. It's a good win that he won over Ballas, but I would be surprised to see if he does anything significant. But he's a politician. Let's see what he'll do. You give him a chance. I voted for him, so we'll check it out. But at the meantime, what's wrong with us we can't do for ourselves? Why we keep depending on all these other entities to make things work for us? I mean, it's just reality. I mean, in my own life, you know, following on the heels of what they tell you to go get you a good job and all this stuff, then the people hate on you because it's like 12 years a slave, like you're a black man that's very brilliant. But it just seems like to me your brilliance won't work for you, and they work against you. The next thing you know, you're without a job. So eventually, when you get to the point you realize you cannot depend on the system, then you devise a plan for yourself where you can get ahead. And it doesn't have anything to do with marketing on television or none of that stuff that you give up. You stop buying things because they constantly tell you, it's a sale, buy it, buy it, buy it. And every time you're buying, add that up for 5 years straight and see how many hundreds of thousands of dollars you've wasted on stuff you don't even wear. So maybe if we cut out that and started focusing on what we can do individually, we would be a real powerhouse. I'm working on a plan with Minister Plump. We are getting the young men to gather $10,000 up each to use to community help, each one of them. So if you have 10 men standing on the corner, you got $100,000 worth of power. They could walk in a bank and say, we want to borrow some money, and the bank will give it to them. That's what we need. We don't need to depend on anybody but what we can do for ourselves, because everybody else makes us all these big promises, and then when you get the bag, it's totally empty. So I don't want to depend on the American society that chases after the oppressors' wishes and what they want out of life. That, oh, go get you a house and a two-car garage and a car. Is that success or what? I don't see that as success unless you can bring some people up with you. But at any rate, we need to change the paradigm here and stop following after other people and create our own in this new age so that we can be the solution to our own situations and stop looking for other people to do something to help us. It's enough of us. If we just get some unity, we can do that. It's real easy. 100 brothers and sisters combined are worth $1 million off $100 a week. We're a powerhouse if we just unify. That's all you have to do. How simple is that?
I agree. Well, I thank you,
Hallelujah.
Brother.
Y'all have
you
a great
definitely
day.
Said a mouthful, and it makes so much sense. And I agree. The real problem, the real solution to the problem is with us, and we're going to realize after a couple of months that the man we put in office is not a messiah that's going to wave his hand and all the problems go away. This takes work, and it takes work from the people, and we always had the power to fix our problems. I agree. It's not going to come from a politician, but we do need our politicians not to create obstacles and unnecessary stressors for people, and that's what we're hoping to get out of this new mayor. And Zelda says, teach Brother Obadiah. All right, now, you got an amen from Zelda there. And she says, expect city council to block Mayor Johnson just like they did Mayor Harold Washington. Community can change that trajectory. Yes, you're right, and we should. We should make sure that any city council person elected knows that if they are obstructionists, we will remove them from office just like anybody else who is not doing what is the will of the people can be removed. We have the power. It's in our hands. So, yes. So we got about 30 seconds. Your last thoughts?
Also, we have to rebuild the family. That's the first break.
Yes.
Rebuild the family. I'll stop right there.
That is true. That's where everything starts. And anything that this new mayor can do to strengthen the families, that will go a long way in solving the problem, because that's where the battle really is. It's inside our homes. So thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We're showing you the On Air Daily News website. Go to onaireverywhere.com. That's www.onaireverywhere.com. We keep you informed, keep you up to date. We have a daily news brief on Blog Talk Radio, the On Air Daily News, www.blogtalkradio.com/onairdailynews. And listen to news briefs. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. We'll see you next time.
Of Halal Industry do for.
All right. And we thank all of you for being a part of the solution. And as always, we invite you to join us tomorrow for Soul Purpose. No, Soul Solution. Yep.
Please come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsanida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel,
Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.